Tomorrow is the centennial of the Wright brothers' famous flight at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. As every schoolchild learns, Orville and Wilbur built the first airplane entirely by hand in their bicycle shop in Dayton, Ohio. 100 years later, NPR intern David Levin visited enthusiasts around the country who continue to be obsessed with building experimental aircraft. He started in his own backyard.
TJK, I have a clearance at GRB.
There's a certain feeling that comes with flight, that you've left the world beneath you and have entered something greater, more universal. After you leave the ground, you're the same person as before, you have the same problems, but somehow, they just don't matter anymore. My father Lou, who's been flying for almost 40 years, feels it.
It's a miracle. I mean, we're clumsy animals on the ground, and you see birds overhead and they're flying and moving around and they're doing all these fantastic things, and gravity doesn't bother them, obstacles don't bother them, and we can do what they're doing. I mean, how could you ask for anything better?
For most pilots, there is nothing better. Here at Oshkosh, Wisconsin, where the annual convention of the Experimental Aircraft Association takes place, aviation buffs come from all over just to talk shop. It's one of the largest air shows in the world, and also the meeting place for thousands of pilots who have built their own aircraft. But what is it that draws people to build a plane when they can hop on a perfectly good airline?
We are emotionally connected to this business of flying.
Tom Proctor has been working on amateur-built aircraft for almost 30 years.
In the early days of aviation, there was a mystique that came with flying because most people looked at flying in awe. They really didn't understand how airplanes stayed aloft and why they flew. But as time has gone on, especially since 1950, flying has become so commonplace it's almost like getting in your car.
Just put your left foot right there. You can step right on the seat you want, or you can step all the way over to the other side, whatever works for you.
Sliding into the cockpit of a tiny home built feels like sitting in the back seat of a Yugo. It's not really like stepping into an airplane. It's more like strapping one to your rear end. Most are little more than 20 feet long, with barely enough room for two people. They look almost like toys.
There you go, that's for your feet on either side.
Dick Swope, an executive for aircraft manufacturer Lockheed Martin, spent years building his plane from a mail-order kit. Today, the finished product sits in a hangar near Washington, D.C.
When I got this, it came in five boxes, sheets of metal, pre-punched, and what I have done is prepared each one of the holes and put the rivets in. It was amazing to me. I thought this would be about an 18-month project, and it turned out to be over 6 years.
This is the first airplane Swope tried to build. When he started, it was a bit overwhelming.
The way you do these things is you start out building the tail section, the empennage, and all the skills that you will need to build the airplane, you'll build into yourself in the process of making the empennage.
Each major piece of Swope's aircraft took between 6 and 18 months to build. By following an instruction manual that looks more like a phone book, he was able to piece the entire project together.
As I said, I'm not an engineer. I'm not an airplane mechanic by trade, just a pilot. But by following these directions carefully, without making too many mistakes the first time, you know, I was able to prepare and assemble the entire airplane.
The work of the amateur building movement is helping the public realize that flight really isn't just transportation. Even 100 years after the Wright brothers, it's still a miracle. For NPR News, I'm David Levin.
David Levin interned with All Songs Considered. That story was originally produced as part of NPR's Next Generation Radio Project.